Meine sehr verehrten Damen, Herren und alles dazwischen, das ist die Midlife Crisis. Ein Podcast von und mit Maike Schumacher. Was passiert eigentlich, wenn eine 50-jährige Frau, die mitten im Leben steht, zum ersten Mal über Sex spricht? Finden Sie es heraus. Viel Spaß beim Zuhören. Life Crisis.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the next episode of MILF Life Crisis. Probably you already realized that this episode is gonna be in English, and what should I say? I'm almost freaking out because of this, because I'm super excited to have a special guest here today. And of course, I'm super excited to fail with my English. So if there's something going wrong in this episode, I really hope you don't mind. And yeah, you relax and you enjoy this episode as much as I do. It's episode 28. And for today, I have a very, very special guest here. I met her, and this is what I'm doing always. I'm to tell the story where I meet the people. So this fabulous woman I met on a picnic date. We've been a couple of friends sitting together here in Berlin on a Sunday, sunny afternoon. We're sitting on the same blanket and we get to know each other. We started to talk. And this beautiful woman, she was like, well, yeah, oh my God, my friend already told me about you. You are a dance teacher as well. So we are on the same page. I'm doing dance classes as well. I'm a burlesque teacher, which is the first thing she's doing. And so we started a conversation. I was super, super interested already after she was talking to me a couple of minutes. So today, and right next to me on my kitchen table, I like to welcome the fabulous lady, Lucinda. Lucinda, thank you for being here. I'm super excited. I hope... Yeah, you understand my English, and you're not afraid to talk about what we are going to talk.
Hello. Thank you for having me, and thank you for being brave enough to speak in English today. If I had to speak in German, I would be so nervous right now, so I completely understand you.
Thank you very much. To just get an idea of who is sitting next to me, it was the same situation at the picnic. There was a beautiful blonde lady in a flower, super romantic dress, right? Do you remember the dress you were wearing yesterday?
Yes, it was a pretty summer dress.
It was. So I'm always excited to get to know some interesting people. But in this case, people... Fasten your seatbelts, I have to say it, because this blonde, beautiful lady in her flower summer dress there's one side. She is a burlesque teacher. She is, how did you say it? A retired burlesque dancer.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about this, but for the introduction and now let me see a drum roll. She's a domina. And this is a topic where till now in my life, I didn't have a connection to. I've never talked in my whole life to a person who has that kind of job. So I'm very curious. And yeah, I'm very excited to bring that on the table today. So I say thanks a million that you are brave enough to sit here on my table.
That's wonderful. I can't wait to hear what questions you have for me.
Let me ask you the first question. So let's talk about the burlesque dancing first, because we're on the same page on that, right? Mm-hmm. So you are a burlesque dance teacher. How can I imagine what is happening on a burlesque dancing class?
So first of all, the type of student who comes to my workshop, a lot of people think it would be women who want to be burlesque dancers, or it is the typical young, sexy type of woman as well, but it is not actually. Mm-hmm. My workshops are a very diverse mix and age group of and body type and background. And generally it's just women who want to enter a safe space where they can explore being feminine and being sexy and connect with that part of themselves. So I use burlesque as a tool to empower them to start a journey to ask what they think is sexy for themselves, to shut out all the noise of what the world expects of them, what their partner thinks is sexy, because we often mirror and perform and do what we think our partner enjoys.
Absolutely. Mirror is a good word for that.
But we don't often just shut all of that out and ask, what do I think is sexy? How do I want to dress up? What music would I want to listen to? So this is a place where we go on that journey together.
That sounds so beautiful. This is where what we've talked about before, because the safe space, to use a dance floor as a safe space. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what I'm doing with my program, Tanz dich glücklich, or in English, Dance Yourself Happy. It's a safe space to be who you are and to express your feelings. Doesn't matter if it's joy, if it's frustration. You can also put out everything on the dance floor, or if it's sexy. And every woman or every person in this whole world have a different understanding with their body to be sexy, or how they move their body that it feels sexy, right?
Exactly. And there's many different ways, shapes, and forms that sexy can come in. Yes. So we just see one particular type in the media often. And especially in burlesque as well, you only see this glamorous vision of burlesque. But when you get into the real scene, you will see weird, wonderful, funny, sad, romantic, glamorous, wild. So you can really choose your own story, your own narrative, your own theme, your own vision of how you want to express your sexy. So there's a lot of acting involved as well. So you create your own alter ego and you decide, what does she represent and how does she feel and what do people feel when they see her dance?
Wow. So we don't have to be Dita Fantis. We don't have to.
Please, no. Yes, she's gorgeous. If everyone would look like her, it would be boring.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing. Sexuality should be diverse and colorful and exciting. And I like to describe it to my students like a beautiful, delicious, exotic buffet. And this buffet should have different colors and flavors and textures. And when you taste things, it's exciting. And, oh, what is that? And it makes you go, And then the other one makes you go, ooh. And then the other, ooh. And then maybe you don't like that. Maybe you like more of this. And if you go to a buffet and it's all one color, it's all beige, it's all one flavor, it's all just the same, then, you know, who wants to go to that buffet? No one.
No one.
So
it's
we want to
feast
on diversity and excitement and
absolutely
curiosity.
Yes.
And this is how your sexuality should and can be.
It's a playground. It's a playground for all of us. And do you guys realize already how powerful the words are which are coming out of this beautiful mouth? No, I really have to say it, because you open up immediately like a range of diversity and different flavors and differency. And this is what is so important. We are all unique. To just mirror someone is one of the most boring things you can do. And it's so unsatisfying to be not yourself, to just not step out of your comfort zone, because we are trained to mirror somebody, you know, to behave, be brave, don't show too much skin, don't show too less skin. We are always too much or too less, but we're not, you know, on right. We're not just right. And this is what really is what we have in common, that we can push the people to their authenticity. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I do have to admit, though.
Okay, go ahead. I love it when people admit. Do it.
Confession here.
No.
When I have a partner and I do know what they like, there are moments that I do really enjoy putting that particular style of outfit on. You know, for example, if I know they really like stockings, there are definitely moments that I love to put those stockings on.
I totally understand
and
what you mean.
There is this feeling of, okay, now you will worship my stockings.
Yes! There can
be a power play in that.
Absolutely. But you like it and you want to wear it. It's not that you have to, right?
It's also like anything in life, balance. So if, you know, there's so many other aspects of my life where I choose how I want to express myself. So then to go back and to make that choice to please his vision and his desire is a choice that I make, you know, after doing all the work to make all of those other decisions for myself, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. I totally know what you mean.
Because I don't want to bring this idea to your listeners that I think, you know, pleasing your partner is not what, you know, is bad thing.
No,
it's
absolutely not.
It can not. Be so much fun. Yeah. And there can be a lot of power in doing
so. Yes, and there's so much fire in that too.
But a balance in combination with everything.
Absolutely. But if you're a lady who does not like to wear stockings, there are a lot of ladies out there, they don't like tights, they don't like the fabric. So for example, I once got asked to wear some latex, or what's the English word, latex?
Latex.
Latex. So maybe sometimes I'm spreading in some German word, where some German words like latex. I once had that experience that the guy was asking me to wear it, and a very tight leather outfit. And the only thing I can think about is, oh my God, I'm sweating my ass off in that. So I felt very uncomfortable with this idea. So I did not. But if there's a guy who likes lingerie, or, I mean, I love to wear nice underwear. I love it. I have a whole closet. So here's a secret. I have a whole closet full of underwear. Right now, I'm just wearing it for myself. Oh, no, let me see. There are some pictures on Instagram. No, just kidding. But I love this play, this game. If somebody's into stockings or into nice lingerie, and then you're going to wear it and show off and dance a little. Woo!
And before I got into burlesque, yes, I also liked to dress up in lingerie and stockings. But you know, if you dress up and you go on a romantic date and you've put in enough effort that you're underwear matches your bra. Wow. Okay. Oh my God. Then you know tonight's the night. We're going to get sexy tonight. My panties match my bra. Oh my God. Here we go. What's going to happen?
Ladies, do you know that feeling that you take care about your underwear when you're on a date?
Set the intention. Yes.
True.
And then you have the date, you get home, you know, and things start to get sexy. And then your partner just takes off the clothes and then doesn't even look at the underwear. It's just like underwear comes off in a second, doesn't even notice. And you just want to take a moment and say, hey, you didn't notice that my panties match my bra? I mean, come on. And you just want to be admired and adored and worshipped, and for them to see that effort and to be looked at in that way and admired. And so to slow things down in that process of the kissing and foreplay starts, and then there's the undressing that happens quick, and then it's into the sex. But to slow that down, that in-between part of the undressing.
Absolutely.
And then to have the confidence to take control of that moment mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
And to push them back on the bed and say, no, you're going to watch and I'm going to do it slow and unwrap unwrap like a beautiful present. Like think of yourself as a beautiful, luxurious Valentine's present or something that has many layers and ribbons and bows and decorations. And it's coming off piece by piece to present like, yeah, the prize, the present.
Oh, I have great pictures in my head right now. Mm.
And I remember I had once a guy who was very into my lingerie. He loved it. He just loved it. And I really liked that. And there were times when I was thinking, maybe I look too slutty when I just wear, you know, like this little panties or this little bras where they're just strings and the nipple comes out and whatever. At first I had this idea in my head, you look so slutty and maybe he's going to treat you, you know, like he's going to treat you slutty. But it happened exactly the opposite. He was looking at me, like you said, like I was a present. Mm-hmm. And he was overwhelmed that I put effort in this. And that was, I remember one night I was wearing my harness over, as you said, some layers. And, you know, a harness is a very rough, made out of leather with big silver things on it, where you really can pull someone. Mm-hmm. And I was, seriously, I was afraid that something is going to happen on that night, but I wanted to try. And he looked at me, I will never forget that, like I was the queen. And he didn't touch me rough or anything. He treated me like the best present he ever got. And that was so fantastic.
Oh, sexy.
Yeah, very sexy. Very I can sexy. Tell right now.
Yay. Meow.
Just for the record, I didn't have sex the last 7 months. All my lingerie is in the closet. I'm sweating my ass off right now just because of this imagination. Okay, I'm going to work on, I should manifest this. That the next guy who's coming into my life, that he likes that. Oh, at least as much as this guy. So, and I really want to say I want to join one of your workshops. Oh, I have to experience that.
I'd love to have you.
There's one, I remember I've seen a movie. Do you know the movie where some girls come together and having this experience? And it's such a emotional movie because it's not about getting undressed at all. It's just about being yourself and getting more self-confidence and love yourself more and enjoy your body and enjoy moving. And at the end, it's not about getting undressed at all.
Mm. It's a very powerful message that you send to yourself if you are brave enough to step into a burlesque workshop, is to say, I am worth it. I am worthy of being sexy. And this is huge. This is huge thing that you can give yourself, because so many women think they're not feminine enough, they're not sexy enough. And this is a very, you know, they don't. The expectations are so high, set so high about what sexy looks like.
Yes.
And so many women think they just fail at this. So I tell my students a very powerful thing that helps them a lot with this is the idea of being sexy or feminine is not something you are born with. Naturally, it does not come naturally. It is a socially constructed idea that we again mirror our environment to see, oh, how does a feminine woman move? How does she look? Mm-hmm. How does a sexy woman move? How does she look? Mm-hmm. And we imitate this.
True.
And so, and then I tell my students, look, there are some women who grow up in environments where they can see this and they can explore that and they can learn it and try it out. And there's a whole lot of women that do not. You're just busy doing other things. You're getting educated. You're having children. You're doing sport. or you come from an environment that does not allow you to learn this.
Yes.
For example, some religious environments, some academic environments, corporate environments. So you are not learning how to imitate femininity or to sexy. So of course you don't know it and it feels awkward. And just because you can't do it does not mean you're sexy, does not mean you're feminine. It just means you haven't learned it yet.
Yes. That's thank you for coming up with this. Because in my imagination, in a perfect world, we don't have to learn it. It comes out not. It should have come out naturally, but you're so right. It does not. We're so trained to behave, to be the brave one, to be, you know, like the nice one. Can't you be the nice girl and stuff like that? And you have to open the door in yourself. When I'm on teaching sexy things on my dance floor, I always said, okay, listen, there's a door in yourself. And it takes a while that you can open it and that you can step out of, because it's a stepping out of the comfort zone, because you're trained to always behave. And to try new things, doesn't matter if it's sexy or if you try to play piano for the first time, it needs some practice and it needs some time. So here's another secret. I'm pretty sure you know that too. If you open up that door, if you have opened up the door, I'm going to tell you, you can't close it. You cannot close it. If you one step out of this box and feel the energy of your own sexiness and the power of this happiness, how it feels, you cannot return to the point where you didn't do it, right?
Yes, your journey has started.
Yes, you opened the treasure box.
Buckle up. It's going to be a wild ride. And I see this sometimes, in my workshops where my students do go on this journey and they are enjoying it so much. They put that into fifth gear and pedal to the metal and they are gone. And then the partners that they're with are like, well, who is this woman now that I'm with? Mm-hmm. She's totally changed. She's acting so differently. She's requesting different things in the bedroom. It can be in the beginning a little bit of a bumpy ride.
Yes, so I can't imagine.
I mean, of course, there are also a lot of partners who are very, very happy about the sexual awakening of their partner. Mm-hmm. But actually, a lot of men, they can also get very insecure about it. Because
I can absolutely understand, because this is when you change, it doesn't matter in what way, what way ever, it is scary sometimes because you don't know the news. You don't know the new thing. You don't know she was always like that. So we're on the safe side. What if somebody's changing? It doesn't matter if it's about the sexiness or if you develop your personality, whatever. It doesn't matter, right? I can imagine. Yeah.
And also men are often the more confident ones with their sexuality. And more in the driver's seat.
Oh, true.
And for men to have the position where they're always encouraging their female partner to be like, yes, you're sexy. Yes, we can do this. Come on. It's a power dynamic. Mm-hmm. And so when the woman gets more confident and does not need that reassurance,
Then
the man can feel very out of place. Well, what is my position here? What do I need to, what do I offer? And if you don't need my reassurance, then So this can be quite a confusing time.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine. I really can imagine. Talking about men, I'm going to jump on this. I'm going to jump on this train to come to the next point, because I was so excited when you told me at the picnic on the blanket in your flowery summer dress. Yeah, well, this is one point what I'm doing. And the other thing is I'm a domina. And I have no idea how I looked at you. Did I probably look creepy? Like, oh, or you couldn't see, but in my mind there was like, oh, what did you just say?
Yeah, don't worry, I'm very much used to it. And I like the reaction.
Oh, you do?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Okay. I have a very, very special, unique job. And if someone is like, oh, yeah, well, that's a bit boring, then I'll be very disappointed.
True. So let's talk about this, if it's fine for you to ask you some questions.
Yes.
So it's your regular job. So you're doing the burlesque workshops just for fun, or, you know, just
more part-time. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't bring in enough income to pay.
Yeah,
the bills. So, but my dominant work, yes, is.
So it's, do you work daytime or do you work nighttime? Or does it depend on when?
It completely depends on the client.
The client, okay.
Yeah, the session. So day, night, majority daytime.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because they have time and they don't have to find an argument where they're not at home? Or what do you think?
Because I choose as well. I say this is when I'm available, take it or leave it.
Oh, this is the first step
Exactly.
You say how the rules are, right?
Of course.
Of course. Oh, have you heard her voice? The best thing was when we started to talk about it, for example, we also talked about let's go to the Kit Kat Club, because with a woman like you on my side, I could not imagine someone better at my side like you, like a confident, know what she wants woman and have practice. Can I say that? Have practice by being or taking care about your space and what you're doing. And there was one sentence you said to me. You said, well, when I'm at a club or somewhere else where a guy steps up, because I really don't feel safe to go to the Kit Kat Club because I'm afraid that somebody will grab me or touch me when I'm not wearing enough clothes, and that I feel, very uncomfortable. And you say, well, wait a minute. What did you tell me at that point?
There's a simple thing you can do to communicate so much. It's very powerful. You just say, you stop them from talking and coming in your space. And even if they're touching your shoulder or making you uncomfortable, if they're invading your space,
yes,
you tell them to take one step back and place their hands behind their back, and then they may proceed talking to you. And if they do not do this, you walk away. And it's so simple, so effective, that if they place their hands behind their back and then they can talk to you, it just, it communicates that they respect your body and boundaries.
Yes. That was such a big game changer. Guys, I cannot tell you this. It's so simple and it's so easy. It really blew my mind, because when I get to know guys, or when I'm on a date, or whenever, I experienced so many times that they immediately start to touch me, like you said, on the shoulder, or even their arm around my hip or my waist. Or I had a date, he grabbed over the table and, you know, with a finger, my ponytail, what is this in front?
Your fringe.
My fringe, mein Pony. Also, es heißt ja Pony auf Deutsch, aber the fringe with the fingers in my face. And I was like, what the fuck was that? We talked since 10 minutes and you already have your fingers in my face. And I was always afraid to say something, like, because then you are the girl who is, you know, zickig. You know, you are the bitch because it wasn't that bad. I mean, come on, I just touched your shoulders. But I don't want to get my shoulders touched in the first 30 minutes. I don't even know you. What? For example, I lived around the corner at the Oktoberfest in Munich. You have no idea what's going on there. You have no idea. And since that, I'm so super sensitive. There was one night I counted, I cannot imagine exactly, but it was something around 32 times that I was standing on the bench dancing and a guy grabbed under my skirt. It was at one night 32 times. I'm not sure how it is these days. Maybe it got better. I'm moved out of Munich 4 years ago, so I have no idea. But I'm super pretty sure there are enough ladies out there who had the same experience and always get touched, and this is not cool.
I'm really sorry that happened to you. And
thank you.
Yeah, this is awful. It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. So I want to learn today how, I want to learn okay. more about so your work and about.
We can go back into this Kit Kat Club setting, yes. if you like. And
yes.
it's easy for me to explain it and you can visualize it.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so Kit Kat Club is a place where you have sexual freedom and people are dressed very sexy and lingerie and or topless, or I often walk around topless there. I love the feeling of mm-hmm. just like, you know, being able to do that with confidence and no one's going to grab me. So what you have to shift the power dynamic and see what is really happening in that space. So it is a kinky, sexy space where there is men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you have women in this type of space, they are the queen.
Mm.
And it is a privilege to have women enter these spaces, because women's sexuality has been suppressed since how long?
Mm-hmm.
Forever. And we are put in danger.
Yes.
And we are slut shamed.
Absolutely. And we got killed at one point exactly. in history. They burned us.
So for women to step over all of these obstacles and place themselves in this environment is an absolute privilege to have them there.
Absolutely.
And men do not have to go through all of this to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So then men, they have to wait to be chosen. And women have the choice. They can just simply go to these spaces wearing their sexy lingerie, like you were saying before. You've got all this lingerie in your mm-hmm. closet. You're not in a relationship at the moment, and it's just gathering dust, and you want to wear it. You yes. want to, you feel amazing. You feel sexy.
Yes.
You know, so this is a place where you can just wear that harness,
mm-hmm.
go to the club. You don't even need to talk to anyone. You do not even need to touch anyone. You just dance. You have fun with your friend. You go home. And it is still an absolute privilege to have a woman like you coming into this space and being present there. So men, they are... when they approach you, of course, yes, they have to prove themselves mm-hmm. that they are worthy enough of being in the presence of a queen. And you are the one that will choose them or not.
This sounds so beautiful. And this seriously, I soak it up right now, because I want that in, you know, like normal life as well. I'm going to have a date tonight, and I really already took some time for my mindset that it's not going to happen, that he's not going to touch me at first. And now I have a really good sentence. I am the queen.
Yes. And go into the date with a mindset of a dominus. So, yes.
Okay. Let me know. What is the mindset?
For example,
yes.
I mean, men have to pay to have the privilege of my presence. So, and... no, you're not getting paid for this date.
Yes.
But still, your time is money. You're a very busy woman.
Yeah.
You have a lot to do. And for someone to take your time like that is, again, a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
So don't waste your time on someone who's not worthy of that. If you give them certain boundaries and they don't play along with that, they don't respect that, they don't deserve your time. And so think about your personal space. So everyone has, think of it like you've got a hula hoop around you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And inside the hula hoop is your own very personal space. And think about it like your home. Like we're sitting here now in your kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and I can feel the warmth, the love, the home, the emotional connection that you have to mm-hmm. your kitchen. And this is why we're recording this here.
Mm-hmm.
And think about this space inside the hula hoop is the same. And you don't invite anyone into that space that you don't want to be there.
Sure.
And no one has a right to step over that boundary without your permission. And you can try to develop skills in the beginning to gently, politely, but firmly communicate that I'm not okay with you coming in my space right now. I don't know you yet. I'm not comfortable with you yet. So, you know, let's just keep hands to ourselves right now. And then carry on and ask, then ask them a nice question, you know, then just divert the conversation. So you don't have to stay on the topic. Just simply put it out there and then move on.
Okay.
And then if they do it again, you bring it up and you say, depending on whether you, how you're feeling, say, next time you do that, I'm leaving. And yeah, you need to pay attention to this.
This is so cool, because if you as a woman act like this or say things like this, you all, well, in my experience,
you're a bitch.
And you're aggressive. So, come on, it's not a big deal. It was just a simply touch on your shoulder, blah, blah, blah.
Well, do you know how liberating it was when I reached the point in my life where I became the bitch?
Really?
So I am a domina. And dominas are known for being the bitch. And if being the bitch is stating my boundaries and being very clear and being very confident, then okay, then I'm the bitch. So what?
Yeah, true.
So what? Deal with it.
Great. So how did it come that you become a domina? How was that process? I guess it was a long process, but how did it start?
So after teaching burlesque for many, many years and teaching women how to be confident in expressing their sexuality, and I just became very, very confident myself. And then I almost became too confident. So like you were saying, this very difficult position where women are taught to people please, especially please men. And it make allowances for men, and to also be more representers, more insecure, so the men feel more confident.
Oh my God, yes, that's true.
And then they feel more comfortable with you. And realizing that the more confident I got, the more insecure men became. And then this became a bit of a problem, because then they were almost scared of me. And then finding the world of BDSM. I was married at the time, and my husband was very vanilla, so which means just very regular, normal sex.
Blümchen sex.
Yes. And I was curious about what else is out there, and started to, and he gave me permission to go out and seek alternative kinky things. So then I, through that journey, discovered that women can be in a dominant position. And I just flowed into that very, very easily. And then I was like, wow, oh, this is a world where men worship my confidence and they don't put me down for it. They raise me up. They put me on a throne. They literally call me queen. Yeah, they're at my feet. They will do anything I tell them to do. It's like, oh, wow, okay, I think I've just arrived. So it all just clicked into place for me and felt very, very natural. So I could then everything I've learned and all the confidence that I had gained and all of the things I knew I can be in a room and I can be the dominant one, I got to exercise and play out and see how that works and how that feels, to be very, very powerful.
This is so, so amazing, because when we first met, I asked you immediately, what kind of men are coming to your sessions? Or would you say it's a session? It's a domina?
It's a session.
It's yes. A session. How long is a session?
So it goes anything from, 1 hour minimum, 1.5 hours, 2 hours. But then sometimes it can go up to 5 hours or 24 hours.
You have done a session for 24 hours?
Which includes, it's not play for 24 hours.
Okay.
It's when the clients want to be confined and held somewhere.
Oh,
and you can go to sleep, you can have snacks, you can, and there you have a key and they're locked up somewhere. So
you should have seen my face. You should see my face. It's like exactly, the last episode I was telling my assistant that I had once the situation that I got to meet a new guy, and he told me that he wants to play, and his eyes were shimmering, and he said, wrap you on the bat and you have to wait for me. And I was like, huh? And he said, for about 4 hours. My brain, huh? What? My first question was, what are we going to do if I have to go pee? And he was so mad at me because he thought I'm making fun. But in my imagination, in my little blonde brain, whatever, it doesn't work. This idea doesn't work. And my assistant was like, oh my God, just wait for it. She got even excited just because I told her the story. So of course there are people out there who have different needs and want to try different things. So I'm always trying to be open-minded, but my face sometimes is not. So
yes, back to your question.
Yes.
What kind of client mm-hmm. do I have?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have the misconception that it is powerful businessmen who come to
yes.
a domina because
yes.
they like to give over the power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not actually necessarily the case. It's a very diverse range of different types of ages and backgrounds and a very diverse mix of men, young, old, mm-hmm. middle-aged, different professions, different race.
So what's the main topic? Why are they coming to you?
Generally, men, our society functions on a patriarchal structure.
Yes.
So men are the more dominant one.
Yes.
And for a lot of men, this is it's very demanding, and to keep up being the dominant one all the time is exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And they are forced into this position, whether they like it or not, and they have to maintain it.
Yes, true.
And so when it comes to sexuality, you want to experiment with other things. And I explain it like, if you were forced to eat the same breakfast cereal every single morning of your life, would you like that breakfast cereal after a time? Maybe you do. Maybe that breakfast cereal feels like home and it's familiar and you know it and you've perfected it. But sometimes you just want a different flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like men with being in a dominant role when it comes to sex and bedroom. So sometimes they do want to give over the control. They do want to have the woman be the more dominant one. And it's like a holiday to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a huge taboo. Men are not allowed to want this. And it's not only other men who shame them for that. It's women as well.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
In your relationship, it's a lot of women enjoy having a stronger, more powerful mm-hmm. male partner.
Mm-hmm.
And if that male partner says that they want to be the weaker, mm-hmm. submissive one, then it's not very attractive.
What's wrong with you,
right? Yeah. And they can get shunned and shamed and break up relationships. And society in general will shame yes. men for wanting that, because they have to maintain this position of dominance, to maintain the structure of power, patriarchy. Yeah. Otherwise, what would happen?
The society.
If men, yeah. if men want to be under the feet of women,
the system will break, yes, break down.
Yes. Yeah. But of course, not every man works the same way. Mm-hmm. And it's very enjoyable, like having someone take over control, and it's almost like a very caring mentor way, guiding way. And so, but it's a huge taboo, and this is why there is something called a domina, who men have to come in secret to pay for that. Mm-hmm. And I create a safe space and welcome them in and say, of course, I see you. Of course you want something different. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. And I am a woman who can do that for you. And I enjoy it a lot.
You do. This is so great. This is so great. I mean, I see your eyes right now and you're smiling. Like, it's you giving them a part of freedom. That's right?
I see them fully as, yeah, I was explaining to a session to a friend once, and she was like, oh, I just don't know how you could do that to a person. And of course, it's consensual. Everything I do is consensual. And I said to her, well, you're thinking of your own yourself mm-hmm. and what you want and don't want. And you don't have to do anything you don't want, but they want it and I want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I see them fully, more than anyone else in their life sees them. They hide this part of themselves. Mm. And with trust and care and understanding, I see them. Mm-hmm. And I say, there's nothing wrong with you. It's okay. And yeah, and it's safe. And it's so...
This is so really, because this sounds so beautiful. I can feel that you mean it from the bottom of your heart. It's not that I want to hit men and I want to, you know, put them under pressure. And this is something I'm ashamed that you have so, or that I have those mm-hmm. kind of pictures in my head. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to hit and I need my aggression go out and whatever. But what you just explained is a beauty.
Yes.
What you are doing.
I can be completely fully myself, and so can they.
Wow.
And this whipping and hitting mm-hmm. thing, I very rarely do this in a session.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a misconception that a lot of people think, Domina, you must have a whip in your hand. I very rarely pick up a whip.
Oh. Mm. That's interesting. Mm. So... just because out of curiosity, you make an appointment, a guy is going to call you or however you make it over the internet or whatever. He's booking a session. Then you're going to meet him. And do you have a mix between new clients and clients who are coming over and over again?
I have a lot of new clients because my domina style that I present, because every domina presents their own style of how you can imagine a session with them. Some are more strict, more sadistic. Some are more sensual, more feminine. I'm more sensual and feminine. So first timers, they feel a little bit more confident, comfortable mm-hmm. coming to a domina like me. Mm-hmm. So I introduce a lot of my clients to this world mm-hmm. and I love it. That first time excitement that it's just so cute.
Is it?
Oh yeah, it's adorable. And yeah, the euphoria that they feel when they release shame, and they experience all these new sensations and feelings in their body and give over complete power and then trust. Produces a lot of endorphins mm-hmm. in the body mm-hmm. and euphoric, blissful feelings, mm-hmm. which this energy just radiates out of them. And I get that. So it's called something called subspace. So this is the type of energy that is produced when you're submissive, lets go. and they're not, they glide in between being present and then completely, it's like they're high.
I can imagine, yeah.
They stay in this state for a long time. And to be the person guiding them through this type of energy and this type of state, I too become high on that.
Oh, wow.
And so this is what a domina is always searching for. It's exciting. It's better. It's a natural drug. And you're always searching for that. So, yeah, it's nice when first time has come because they produce a lot of this energy. Yes.
That sounds really exciting. Mm-hmm. So how did you start, or is it you talk to them and you make boundaries?
Yes. So they message me, either email or message my work phone, and then I send them a list of 24 questions to answer. And these questions are, can I do this? Do you want that? What do you think about this? Do you have any triggers, traumas? Are there any areas of your body that you do not like being touched? And then also like hard, do you want this hard, soft, medium? Do you have any fetish? What is your most recent fantasy or desire around BDSM? And so with these answers that they give me, I can instantly, before even meeting them or knowing what they look like, how old they are, because I have absolutely no idea, I already know them. I can see them. I can feel them with their answers, and can give me a really good idea about how they work. And I've developed the skill to do that. And I'm a very empathic person. So I feel people and I see people. So I can live out all of these skills that I have in this way. And it's fascinating to me. So I already can feel them before they come in, and I know how they work. So I have a structure and a framework. And then they step into my presence and I see them in body and form. And then I know also the boundaries, and because this is already established before they come in, what they don't like, how they feel safe, how they feel unsafe, they can really let go. And I tell them, of course, that they can trust me and I won't step over any of those boundaries, and just fully, fully let go and immerse themselves in my presence.
That sounds so beautiful. It does not even sound like sex. I mean, this is crazy. I my ears are wide open. And even if I'm a vanilla sex girl too, and I have no idea what's going on in a session with a domina, and not even because we don't have time, but even I don't want to know. I don't want to know because my imagination is way too wild. If you would tell me now your most extreme experiences, I probably could not sleep for the next 3 days, because it doesn't. Blah. And this is not what at the beginning I said to you before we recorded. It's not that this podcast is something, a sensation, and now you need to know how hard you can go. But to get to know these things, what you just said, it's so human. It's so love. It's so caring. Sharing and everything else. It has nothing to do with I'm gonna hit you or the imagination in your head. Like there's a whip and there's a whatever, there's a knife and there's blood and da 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 da, and I'm gonna do this. It's crazy, crazy. Thank you. Thank you for sharing this.
And then I also get to dress up. And I love that part of it. Just yes. Like you're saying, you know, this lingerie that you love putting on, this, the way that you felt when you put this harness on, the excitement, you know, when you put something on, it kind of the transformation that you go through when you have that on. And so for me, the costuming of the domina side is like very much a lot of fun, and the power dressing. Yeah. So I get to live out all of that as well, which is a nice part of the job.
Oh, that's very nice. Well, just out of curiosity, there are for sure some things where you said, no, I'm not going to do this, right? Or you have your boundaries as well.
I have my boundaries, yes. Right? Every domina states their boundaries, yes. Mm-hmm.
This is very important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as you said, if a man is coming to your place, he has his boundaries too. And it's a safe space and you take care that this space is made for that moment and not for anything else.
Yes. One of my favorite parts is when they enter the space and they're often very nervous and then mm-hmm. they're talking a lot.
I can imagine.
And men have the tendency to talk over you as well. You know, mm-hmm. they ask you a question, you go to answer it, and then they're already on to either the next question or answering the mm-hmm. question for themselves. They haven't even listened to your answer. They cut you off, especially if they're excited or nervous. And one of my favorite things is just to just sit and let them just babble on and then just say, now close your mouth.
Oh, okay.
You don't get to speak. Speaking is a privilege.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes. And
you can use this in your daily life too, ladies. Just saying.
Yes. And yeah, so they must listen and they must wait. And then I will just sit there and I will say nothing and I will just look at them and watch their bodies twitching and moving, mm-hmm, getting mm-hmm, uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. They want to say something. They want me to say something. No. There's just been too much talking right now. We're going to sit and I'm just going to stare you deep in the eyes and make you wait. And then I tell them, if I ask you a question, you will reply with yes, mistress, or no, mistress. If you would like to ask a question or say something, you have to say, may I speak, mistress? And then I will decide if you can speak or not.
This is so cool. I was kind of not afraid what would be too much, but if you're now sitting next to me and say this in my face, I can feel your energy and it doesn't shock me or it doesn't make me smaller. I totally understand what you're just saying right now. And I'm not the person who is in the situation with you. You're not saying this to me right now. You're saying what you're doing. And this is what I really like right now. Because I thought if I would ever talk to a domina in my life, I would feel the smaller one. But you are lifting me higher right now.
Oh, lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. I really hope. I mean, I know it's always too short. An episode is always too short. We have record now almost an hour.
Oh,
so
wow.
Thank
it
you.
It went so fast.
Yeah, I know. And you have to come back because yes, there are more questions. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people out there have even more questions than I have. And one of the last questions I wanted to ask you is, we were talking about going together to the Kit Kat Club.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you, would you go with me to the Kit Kat Club?
Yes, please. As long as we can make a podcast about the experience.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yes.
Okay, let's do this. Yep. We are going, right, because with you, I would feel so fucking safe.
Yay.
Because this lady has an energy which I really wanted to have in these surroundings, that I don't have to be afraid. Because you said, step over and say, tell him with the arms. He has to bring his arms back. Right?
Yes.
Okay, let's do this. We got to have this experience together.
And I can't wait to see what you're going to wear.
We're not going to take pictures. Sorry, not sorry. This is going to be a very private evening, but we're going to talk about the experience. That's a good,
yes,
idea to make a podcast episode.
Wonderful.
About it.
Yes.
So I say thank you very much, Lucinda, for being my guest today. I really hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And yeah, people out there, watch out what you're doing. I have a new friend now.
We've got some adventures ahead of us.
Yes. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for having me. It was an absolute pleasure. And yes, I cannot wait to see, yeah, what this night at Kiket has in store for us. Yes, girls' night.
And to all of you who are listening to this episode, I hope you enjoyed it. Keep on listening. Push the button for the stars. And yeah. Have fun and enjoy whatever you like to enjoy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Life crisis.